Gary Nelson.
Good morning, everyone. I always have mixed feelings when I get up here because I feel like if someone new comes today, I deprive them from experiencing PD or Pastor Josh. So bear with me. This is the final week in our series, Encounters. In week one, we looked at Jehosheba, who played a really important role in saving the line of David. In week two, we looked at Ebed-Melech, who did the right thing by standing up for Jeremiah. And then last week, Pastor Josh showed us Jesus and how he raised the widow's son. Today, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 8, and we're going to see a person who went out of their way to help someone. Now, recently, my family was given the opportunity to help someone. How many here have gone through the arduous process of moving? All right. We know along with moving comes all kinds of different challenges and struggles. In this case, we were helping a family move into a different house. And, you know, it's not always just moving your stuff in to the new house. A lot of times there is old stuff you've got to move out. And we were going to help move some of that stuff out. And when we got there, took us down into the basement, so I was already worried from the very start. And when I got a glance at what we were moving out, it was a big green couch. And when I saw the couch, I asked myself, how in the world did they get it down there? So there were four of us that were tasked with getting the big green couch out. As we tried to strategically figure out the best way to do that, of course it never works out how you expect it to. So there's four of us strategizing, trying to figure out, now that we have it jammed in the hallway against a railing, what we're going to do next. The railing did not stay. While three of us were holding it up, somebody else was taking the power drill, removing the railing, and when we got up to the top of the stairway and realized that there was a cabinet there that probably wasn't there when the couch went down, we're like, we don't want to remove the cabinet, let's remove the door. So we removed the door, and we still couldn't get it out. And that's the moment where you're telling yourself, does anybody have a power saw? We were pretty close to sawing it in half. And at that moment, you're like, I'm not going to let my adrenaline or anger get the best of me. Fortunately, cooler heads prevailed, and we were able to remove another railing. And get the couch out with just a few minor bumps and bruises. But throughout the entire process, being able to go and help somebody with something that I don't know how two people would have done it. I really don't. And it really was a great encounter to be able to do something that when I walked down those stairs, I thought, no, it ain't happening. I do want to share one other encounter with you. This time it was me that was being helped. And it's probably one of the most important encounters I had for the reason that I'm here today. I have always been finicky about who cuts my hair, so that's why I do it today. I was complaining to my mom one day. I'm like, man, nobody does it right. I have to find someone that will cut my hair and I don't have to redo it after it's done. So she's like, well, I have an appointment. Come to my hairdresser and we'll see how she does. I'm like, hairdresser? I'm not going to my mom's hairdresser to get my hair cut. But God had something different in store. So I decide to go to get my hair cut, and I wait. Mom gets her hair cut, and it's my turn. So I get up and I get in the chair, and she starts cutting my hair. You know, normally they're nice and kind and asking questions, trying to make you feel comfortable. About 5 minutes in, Sheila DeGroote asks me, "How are you with blind dates?" I've never met this woman before. She has no clue who I am. And she asked me, "How are you with blind dates?" I thought she was kook, but fortunately, I decided I'm going to be kind, I'm going to be nice, and I took the phone number, and that phone number belonged to my wife. We met at Grace Church. When I called her, we decided, hey, there was some type of potluck going on at Grace Church when they were at the high school. And we decided to meet there. I had my best friend, Josh Sensiba. I sing with his wife, doing worship. I'm like, I'm going to go. Well, the rest is history, and here we are, here at Grace, loving our church family. So, what I'd like you to do, we're going to, around your tables, take a moment. Talk about some of those encounters. Some of them may have been profoundly important, may have met your soulmate, but it doesn't have to be anything profound. It could be something simple, maybe just helping someone out of a jam. Recently, Landon Wilkes, the athletic director at Maple Valley, messaged me, and he's like, "We got an extra basketball game that got scheduled at home. Can you announce?" And I'm like, oh boy. But I didn't have anything going, and I'm like, yeah, hey, I'll help you out. So could be something simple like that, just helping someone get out of a tight spot. So around your tables or in your rows, talk about some encounters where you were actually able to help somebody. All right, we're going to wrap things up. I'm not sure what to think about some of the bursts of laughter that I heard out there. Are all of these encounters church appropriate? All right, what I'd like you to do is turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. What we're going to do right now is we're going to listen to our passage today, read from the NIV version. So in verses 26 through 40, if you have a different version of the Bible, feel free to just compare what you're hearing and try and really think about what is being heard as the YouVersion person reads. Are we going to be able to do that? All right, excellent. All right, Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. All right, there we go. That's 40. All right, today our encounter centers around two people. Yes, there's the angel of the Lord and the Spirit prompting. Who? Philip. And he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. So, who is the Philip in this passage? I'm sure we could probably find a number of you that might be able to recite all 12 apostles. More likely than not, the majority of us might be able to get a few. And then there are those of us who might struggle with that. But we're not talking about Philip the Apostle in this passage. In this passage, it's a different Philip. So who is this Philip? So the Philip we see here in Acts chapter 8, many refer to as Philip the Evangelist. So what does Scripture say about Philip the Evangelist? And I would encourage you, on your own time, read chapter 6, read chapter 7, and read chapter 8 leading up to verse 26 that we're going to be covering today. But in Acts chapter 6, we find that Philip was one of seven men chosen by the believers as a man full of the Spirit and wisdom, and they were chosen to serve in the church in Jerusalem. We also find in chapter 8, we know when the great persecution came against the believers, that Philip, in chapter 8, performed signs and preached the word wherever he went. Remember that. That's going to be key today. As we get into our passage in verse 26 in Acts chapter 8, we see Philip also did what the angel of the Lord told him to do. In 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out and on his way met an Ethiopian eunuch." So we see Philip here doing what he was told by the angel of the Lord. Now, as the helper, now we look at who's being helped. Who is the Ethiopian eunuch? We don't get a name, but we do know that he was an important official in charge of the treasury of the queen of the Ethiopians. So in verse 27, it says, "When he met the Ethiopian, an important official in charge of all the treasury for the queen of the Ethiopians, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship." Now, a eunuch was a person who was a trusted servant to the royal family and normally would be involved with the affairs of state. And it was important for these people to avoid any kind of, and not be able to, be tempted with sexual temptation or the ability to be involved in such a way with any of the other royal family. In addition, that would also keep that person from being able to develop their own line, to start their own family line that could potentially challenge the royal line. So we see that in our society today, whether it be coaching changes within our political system. So in order to protect the royal line, measures were taken, let's refer to it as that, to make sure that these servants weren't able to put the royal line in that type of situation. Now, we know the Ethiopian was already interested in the Word of God. How do we know that? The Scripture actually tells us. So when we look at what the Ethiopian was doing, he was coming from where? He was coming from Jerusalem, where he had gone to worship. So having been there, he likely would have been educated on the Jewish faith and the idea of one God. Now, with the prompting of the Spirit, we see Philip obey God again. Philip followed the will of the Lord, and living in obedience allows us and provides us an opportunity to explain the good news about Jesus. And that's exactly what Philip did. He chose to do what he had been tasked to do. And Philip took full advantage of this encounter and even got to travel with the man and baptize him when the Ethiopian requested. Now, I don't know if you know how important it is to have that type of relational interaction with someone. So getting the opportunity and the time to spend with the Ethiopian basically gave Philip the right to speak into that person's life. I don't know if you've experienced it where you've tried to either share truth with someone, and because they really don't know if you're someone that they can trust, and it usually goes in one ear and out the other. But the interaction that Philip got with the Ethiopian eunuch allowed God to prepare the Ethiopian's heart to receive what Philip was going to be sharing with him. Along with building those relationships with people, and it's not always going to be an extended period of time that you get to build that relationship. It could be a short duration or a long duration. Whatever that duration is, though, it gives us the credibility and gives us the right to earn that opportunity to speak into somebody's life. Without that, it's difficult for people to really take what you might be saying and take it to heart. So having that opportunity to travel with the Ethiopian prepared the Ethiopian's heart for what Philip was going to be sharing with him. And in those interactions, when that person feels comfortable with you and you get that chance to really sit down and talk with someone, you get to share ideas with each other. And it's really important that that person is able to share their thoughts and views with you and gives you the opportunity to help them understand better. And that's what we're going to find with Philip here in this passage. Now, as we see after the baptism, the Ethiopian is rejoicing following the baptism. And he's going to be returning to Ethiopia. So the idea is God's plan allowed Philip to share with someone who was going to be returning home. And it's largely thought that the church in Ethiopia came from this encounter that Philip had. And then finally, maybe one of my favorite moments, we see the Spirit of the Lord take Philip to Azotus immediately after the baptism. Now, I don't know about you, my mind thinks differently sometimes. So I got to this point and I'm like, immediately he's gone. And the Ethiopian doesn't get to see him again. Now my thought wandered to, well, did God apparate him someplace different? Was it a beam me up, Scotty moment where I'm envisioning light and Philip disappearing and suddenly we know he ends up in Azotus? Now, after that, Here's a really key piece. When Philip materializes in Azotus, he did what? He continued to preach the gospel everywhere that he went. So it says in verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. In verse 40, it says, Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So now, having heard the story of this encounter between Philip the evangelist and the Ethiopian, what lessons can we learn from it? What am I going to take and be able to apply to my life? So one of the first things, if you're taking notes, you can write this down in your notes. God is always creating openness in the lives of those who need Jesus. So this was part of God's plan. He had been preparing the Ethiopian's heart for this very moment. And in Philip's obedience to do what was asked of him, connected the two together. Because if we're honest with ourselves, God cares more about the lost than we do. If we can be honest with each other, God cares more about the lost than us. And often, we're not even aware of who those people are. Which is why the Holy Spirit, our communication with God, is so important for us to be able to take advantage of the opportunities that He gives us. And that's why we need to be willing to use prayer to align our will with God's. Now, I don't know about you, but I've gone out with the greatest of intentions of sharing Jesus with other people. But it's on my agenda and with my will, and sometimes those interactions don't go very well. I'm sure many of you have experienced it. When our will is not aligned with God's, you may not see the result that you're hoping for. So be willing to use prayer to align our will with God's. And we need to dare to step out in faith as the Spirit leads. Now, I had a discussion out in the lobby early this morning, and they're like, Gary, we talked about the idea of getting nervous, either when you're up front leading worship, whether you're preaching the message, whether you're doing what Danita did and got up and prayed in front of everybody this morning. So dare to step out in faith as the Spirit leads. And then ultimately, and here's the kicker, we want all of these interactions, all of these encounters. Our hope is, our desire is to share the story. Share God's story of Jesus, and then share our story with Jesus. That's what we want. That's what we desire. So God is always creating openness in the lives of those who need Jesus. In your notes, number two, God provided an opportunity for Philip to help someone. I've had that experience where God nudges you and gives you the opportunity. We see God's plan take shape as he prepared the Ethiopian to hear what Philip had to say so the Ethiopian would receive it. And God will do the same for us. God will do the same for us. I know it doesn't seem like it all of the time, But God provides us opportunities, and I'm sure by a show of hands, just about every hand should go up here and say, have I missed one? Because I've missed plenty. I've missed plenty where I know I should help that person that's struggling to change their tire. Whatever the situation may be, we've had tons of opportunities that God's given us to make a connection, to have an encounter with someone, an opportunity that He wants us to take. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we available and are we looking for those opportunities? Because I'll be honest with you, the stress from work, family drama, I know many of you are dealing with family drama, all of those things steal our attention away from being able to take advantage of those opportunities. So it's so important that we're available and we're looking for those opportunities, just like Philip. Moving on in your notes, this would be number 3. Philip was obedient to what God called him to do. How many of you get a little tired of hearing that word, obedience? But then flip it around, whether it's as a parent, as a coach, or as a boss, and what do we expect? Yes, we expect obedience from others, right? So why do we get so worked up and have such a hard time with the idea of obedience to God? Why? In Scripture, we don't see Philip. There's no resistance. There's no hesitation in how Philip responded to what was asked of him. And that's why he was able to capitalize on the opportunity that he was given. He didn't question the angel of the Lord and say, well, why do you want me to go south? I need to know why before I'm going to go. Parents, when you ask your child, clean your room, I'm pretty sure you've gotten, why do I need to clean my room? It's my room. Why do you care? That's not what Philip did. What did it say? So he went. When the Spirit prompted him, go near that chariot. Philip didn't just lazily sulk and walk up to the chariot. What did Philip do? He ran. There was no hesitation. Philip is such a great example for us. One of the reasons why he was chosen. So another question I'd like you to contemplate and ask yourself. That next opportunity that you get, it could be something as simple is seeing a shorty like me trying to reach something on a tall shelf. Yes, that's real. I don't know if you've seen the commercials. Some of the NBA stars are helping people get stuff off the top shelf. And then you see the next NBA star, she can't quite reach the next one. And yeah, and so on. It can be something simple like that. Are we going to answer the call? Because God wants to use us, every single one of us. It's not just PD, scheduling time with people who walk in these doors. It's not just Pastor Josh, scheduling time with people who come into grace. That's our responsibility too. So are we going to answer the call and take advantage of these opportunities? So, lastly, four in your notes. And this is the one that God has been speaking to me vividly. Philip took an outward approach in his desire to help others. We already know that Philip was chosen as full of the Spirit and wisdom. Philip had a heart for God and for others. Again, if we're being honest with ourselves, it's entirely possible for us to help people, think that we're helping people, and do it with the wrong motivation. So when I say outward, I'm talking about not looking for anything in return. Not expecting recognition for what you've done. Because many times, I'll be honest, in helping someone, the hope is that you'll get that thank you, or you'll get something back in return. Guilty. I've been there. I've done that. Sometimes you get into the rut of checking a box, marking a task off your list, and saying, I'm good. Look what I did. But Philip was outward motivated. Full of the Spirit to the point that it was just flowing out of him. He couldn't receive anything because he was full. So the outward motivation and focus needs to be where we're at too. We have to have a heart that sees the value in others. Because I've also missed opportunities because I've looked at someone and I've said, full disclosure, that person's not worth my time. Conviction comes and gets you later on when you've missed an opportunity like that. Don't fall into that. Please do not. Having that heart that sees the value in other people, I believe, is what's going to unlock our ability to truly do what is required of us to help people. Because if I've got myself in mind, I am really not appropriately invested in what's going to happen. So I want you to consider something this morning. Are your thoughts, your actions, and your heart driven by an inward motivation? Or are they driven by an outward motivation that is Spirit-filled and nurtured by a love for God and others? I want to share with you another encounter. And this is one of my favorites. Sometimes I will hang back from greeting people as they come in the doors on Sunday mornings and observe as people, before they actually walk in the door, see the slumped shoulders, see the worn-out facial expressions, and as they come through the door, there's an encounter that I'm pretty sure a really high percentage of all of you have experienced. And that's a Kelly Shaver hug. Yes! Pretty simple, right? But like I said, I'm observing people as they're coming in. And once they get that Kelly Shaver hug, I'm not kidding people, I've received it, it's transformative. Body posture changes. Facial expressions change. It is one of my favorite encounters. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Kelly Shaver is not looking for anything. It's give, give, give. And God will bless that, I guarantee you. And that's the approach that Philip had. So there's a really important question that we should be asking ourselves. All of that being said, yeah, that's great, Gary. Have a heart for God and other people. But how do I get there? What are practical things that I can do to start setting my heart down that path? So I've got some things that you can do this morning that will help you to be a little bit more like Philip. First, growing, this will be in your notes, growing in your relationship with God through word and prayer. Touch your heart. It all starts here. All of the actions that we take, all of the things that we do, and we can justify in our minds that we're doing them for the right reason. If this isn't in it, guess what? You're not likely going to have the impact that God wants you to have. Your heart. Word and prayer. We've got all kinds of opportunities that can help you with reading the Bible. I've said this before, people get tired of hearing it probably to nauseam. But one of the best ways is a home group. Call me crazy all you want, until you've tried it and actually dug in and built relationships with people to dig into God's Word, where you have a support system, where you have people to throw questions off of, because really the Bible's not complex, written in a different culture, and it's important for us to be able to have those conversations with each other, to work through those things. And let me tell you, gone into home group as a home group leader, and I bet you every home group leader in this place will say that they've had people who are studying God's Word come in and say what God was speaking to them about. And I'm like, man, I didn't get that out of the passage this week. It's really important. And then prayer, talking to God. Now, in home group, I will beat on this till the cows come home. Prayer is important. It doesn't have to be boisterous and profound. You don't have to use big words. Something I learned from PD is just talk to him. Talk to him like we're having a conversation. He wants you to personally speak to him like that. What else can we do? Looking for opportunities, so looking in your notes, for opportunities to connect with those who need Jesus. So touch your eyes. Or, as I like to do, put on them binoculars. Saw this in the NBA game the other night. You know, when someone gets that sweet assist that you're like, whoo, that was amazing. Make sure you're focused on looking for those opportunities. Because there's a whole lot of stuff going on in my life and in your lives that want to steal away your opportunity to have an impact in someone's life. Satan does not want you to help people. I don't know if you figured that out yet. He does not want you to help people. And he'll put all kinds of stumbling blocks in your way to make sure that you don't get to have the impact that Jesus wants you to have. Now, when you make that connection with someone, Here's something else, practical. Caring for the real needs of the people God brings across your path. We've already identified one. It can be as simple as a hug. Encouraging someone that might be going through a difficult time. Spending time with someone, doing something that you don't necessarily like to do. Let's be honest, usually we try and interact with people who do what? The things that we enjoy. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing, I'm not saying it's wrong to try and align with people that share things that you're passionate about. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes, guess what? It might be required of us to do something that I don't necessarily enjoy, or I may not be very good at it. Let me tell you what. Golf is one of the most frustrating sports I have ever experienced. And while it grinds me that I can't take this little club face and make good contact on this itty-bitty little ball that's sitting on the ground, I can still go out and play 9 holes and enjoy it because I get the opportunity to interact with other people and maybe put a little joy in somebody's life. And who knows? Maybe you'll be lucky enough that Dan Cheadle will get to help you make better contact with that stinking little ball. All right, lastly, talking with people about the story. If there's something that I have missed the most, I've worked really hard to try and have better interactions with people. And sometimes that opportunity is there. It's not going to be all the time to share God's story. He'll speak to you. He'll let you know that this is the right moment. And if we're doing what we're supposed to by reading the Word and we're involved in prayer, guess what? He's probably going to be more likely to be in regular communication with you, letting you know, hey, this is probably the moment you need to ask this person that question. So again, taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives us, because it's our ultimate goal. I don't want to see somebody be unable to spend eternity with Jesus. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Because, again, if we're being honest, we look at a lot of people and we're like, that person don't deserve it. But that's not how God thinks. If God loves them, I should love them. And I'm pretty sure if we did a poll in this room, we would find out that a number of us have done some not so savory things. And God gave you the opportunity to say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. So that's my hope this morning, is that it'll start here. That our focus would change from inward to outward. And that we'll be ready the next time that that opportunity comes. So let me pray for you. God, you should be our priority. I pray that you're working in every single heart this morning. That they would be feeling that tug. Even if it comes in the form of conviction where I say to myself, yeah, I've got work to do. Lord, I just pray that you'll be working in each and every heart. Lord, we love you this morning, or else we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't come here. So I thank you for everyone, every person that's sitting here today. And I just pray that you'll help lead and guide us reveal to us those opportunities that you have for us. And I pray that our hearts are in the right place to take full advantage of those. And that it aligns with your will, Lord. We love you today. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We are so blessed with this church family. And we could never say thank you enough. Amen. Lisa, do we have